The conclusion of How to Survive Spiritual, Physical, Mental, Social, Emotional, and Financial Bankruptcy. Today on Treasure Top. Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. In modern times, wouldn't you agree there's never been more spiritual, more physical, more mental, more social, more emotional, or more financial bankruptcy than there is right now? We're witnessing a war on God, a war on the church, a war on our schools, our families, our children, a war on our jobs, a war on politics, a war on the world stage. It just seems like there is war everywhere. If you did miss any of the messages in this series, How to Survive Spiritual, Physical, Mental, Social, Emotional, and Financial Bankruptcy, go to treasuretop.com and select podcast to hear them. And you can also hear other messages on how to make life work when life doesn't want to work. And subscribe at the same time so that you never miss a message going forward. To broadcast these messages, I believe that it was God using man who invented radio, television, and the internet to help more quickly fulfill Matthew 28:19, which says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God does not save anyone before they hear the gospel. Faith comes, Romans 10, by the hearing of the message of Christ. And a person has to hear that message first and then believe the gospel before being saved. Romans 10 says they have to have a preacher to hear. Otherwise, how are they going to hear? How will they believe if they don't hear? And it takes a preacher in order for them to hear. And how can a preacher preach unless he is sent? People who do believe say this in Romans 10:15, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things." You know, apart from the gospel, there is no salvation. And that's what your giving does. It enables unsaved people to hear the word of God from a preacher who can also use mass media to deliver the word of God. Treasure Top is a nonprofit ministry, and your donation will help more people hear the gospel who might not otherwise. That's how important your giving is. Go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button. When you give, you not only bless others with the Word of God, but you too are blessed. God multiplies giving. And we see that in this verse, found in the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The Word of God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." This verse refers to the time when people stopped giving their tithes and priests could no longer perform their priestly duties. They had to give up their ministry and begin farming because they needed income to live on. And I always want to be very careful to state that nowhere in the Bible does it say anyone will get blessings in proportion to their giving. That the more money you give, the more blessings you receive. That's prosperity gospel teaching and is a false gospel, not the Word of God. Father, we come before you today. We really need to declare ourselves spiritually bankrupt. To come any other way before you is to be prideful and lustful of our worldly possessions, no matter how much or how little we have. We can do nothing to earn your mercy. We can do nothing to deserve to be saved for eternal life in heaven. It's only by your grace that we are even alive right now in this moment, and it's only by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ that any Christian can go to heaven. Would you help us today to understand our true position before you as broken people in need of a Savior? And only you can save us. There is nothing we can do to be saved, for only you can change our hearts. For non-believers, I pray this message will evangelize them, that they will experience true conversion and accept Jesus Christ in their lives by what you do in their hearts. And for believers, I pray that this message will energize them to fulfill the calling that you have placed upon them to live out their specific purpose on earth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. How to survive spiritual, physical, mental, social, emotional, and financial bankruptcy. Today, I'm going to conclude the teaching series that we are in, and there's one key point that serves to summarize what we have been talking about in this series. And we need to understand this point because it drives all forms of bankruptcy. The extent of bankruptcy in your life is directly proportionate to how you view yourself before God, because how you view yourself before God will determine how you live your life before God. How you view yourself in relation to God shapes your core values, which influences your priorities, which influences your decisions, which becomes your behavior, the actions you undertake. If you have a reverential view of God by admitting you need a Savior, that you are undeserving, sinful, selfish, and have no ability to live up to the commandments of God, if you are willing to humble yourself before God and to admit that you are spiritually bankrupt without Him, then and only then are any of us really ready to be admitted to the kingdom of God. When the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God, it means the same thing as the kingdom of heaven. If someone won't admit that they are defeated without the Lord, that they can't do life on their own, that they can't obey all of God's laws like the Ten Commandments, that they are in fact spiritually bankrupt, what we are essentially seeing is an unrepentant unbeliever whose life is like a ship without a rudder, and wherever the wind blows is what he or she will choose for behaviors that end up leading to a greater spiritual, physical, mental, social, emotional, and financial bankruptcy. Refusal to humble oneself before God is essentially saying to God, God, I don't need you. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5 to his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. So the person who thinks he can do life apart from Christ is really an unbeliever and is essentially calling God a liar. I think one of the best ways to define unbelief is one who lives in the flesh. This means living a life on feelings and whatever feels good at the moment, with no regard to the law of God. And when I speak about the law of God, it's the law that God gave Moses, who wrote down the law. And that appears in the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments is part of the law. And as I said last time, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is the believer has Holy Spirit power, a rudder in life to navigate bankruptcy in this life. And a believer can look forward to the next life where there is no bankruptcy. In contrast, the unbeliever will live an eternal life in suffering and agony in the lake of fire, where there is bankruptcy, spiritual bankruptcy, for eternity. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we gain the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. If you are not a believer, wouldn't you rather have Holy Spirit power to power you rather than relying on your own power that eventually runs out of power? When someone is converted and becomes a Christian, there's new life, and the new life is marked by abandoning the old life of living in the flesh, the whatever feels good at the moment life. The old life becomes replaced with the new life, which is the Spirit of God in us. And that's the Holy Spirit that resides in all Christians. Now, that's not to say that a Christian will never revert to occasionally living in the flesh. We're all flawed, whether we are Christians or not. The key difference is, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit convicts us in our conscience. So when we're tempted to fall back into living in the flesh by doing whatever feels good to us at the moment, we have this inner voice that helps restrain us from fulfilling a temptation that's not good for us and for those who are around us. Remember that temptation itself is not a sin. It's the fulfillment of that temptation that becomes the sin. Today, as we conclude this series, we will talk about the final topic that we have not yet covered, and that topic is financial bankruptcy. And here's the reality about bankruptcy. All of the forms of bankruptcy that we have been talking about in this series, spiritual, physical, mental, social, emotional, and now financial, all forms of bankruptcy stem from spiritual bankruptcy, essentially proud arrogance, the unwillingness to admit we need a Savior, that we can't live on our own. Oh, we can handle any temptation. It's like saying to God, I've got this. I've got enough smarts. I've got enough willpower. I've lived a lot of experiences. I've got enough money. I can make it on my own. If we are unwilling to admit before God that we are poor in spirit, and to be poor in spirit means to know we don't have the resources within ourselves and have to look to God for help and have to depend upon Him, then we will never love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we are not first poor in spirit, we will never love our neighbor as ourself. All that to say again that the extent of bankruptcy in our life is directly proportionate to how we view ourselves before God. Because how we view ourselves before God will determine how we live our life before God. So now let's look at financial bankruptcy, the remaining topic in this series, and one of the offshoots of spiritual bankruptcy. When someone faces financial bankruptcy due to unemployment, foreclosure, or bankruptcy itself, the first thing we need to do is to get honest with ourselves. And much like a doctor would ask a series of questions before prescribing treatment, you need to know, how did you really get here? And to help answer that question, the first thing that needs to be done is to take a spiritual inventory. You've probably heard the saying that the definition of insanity is, if you keep on doing the same thing and expect different results, that's insanity. And an example of that is bad relationships. Let's say each time you break up with someone, you seek the same kind of person the next time. Or maybe you didn't learn anything from the previous relationship. So what happens, in effect, your behavior repeats itself and you wind up in the same place that you just left. The same concept is true about how we handle money. Dave Ramsey, host of the National Dave Ramsey Show, is a financial advisor and perhaps best known for his bestseller, Financial Peace, out of which then grew Financial Peace University, that's been taught in thousands of churches and homes. Dave has some practical advice that he's dispensed over the years, and let me give you five of his sayings. 1. A budget is people telling their money where to go, instead of wondering where it went. 2. A typical millionaire lives in a middle-class home, drives a 2-year-old or older paid-for car, and buys blue jeans at Walmart. 3. Act your wage. In other words, don't live above your means. 4. Debt is normal, so why be normal? And 5. Winning at money is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge. What to do isn't the problem, doing it is. Most of us know what to do, but we just don't do it. Now, sometimes there can be a situation that really is out of our control. Maybe it's an unexpected health care bill in the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars that the insurance company won't pay. Or maybe it's a divorce where one spouse was left with the debts of another. Or it could be the loss of a job. But more often than not, financial bankruptcy is a behavior problem, and it's the repeating of the same behavior over and over that eventually leads to a mountain of debt that no longer can be conquered. An easy question to answer as to the cause of financial bankruptcy, because it's simply a yes or a no answer, was the Bible consulted on what it has to say about finances? The Bible generally advises against borrowing. Now, I know for a house, most people are not going to be able to pay cash, so borrowing may be necessary. And Dave Ramsey says this, I tell everyone never to take more than a 15-year fixed-rate loan and never have a payment of over 25% of your take-home pay. That is the most you should ever borrow. End quote. On a vehicle purchase, I would add, rather than buying new, buy pre-owned with low mileage and an extended warranty. It's a good way to save thousands of dollars. Before we conclude this series with today's message, How to Survive Financial Bankruptcy, if you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending to today's message that is coming up, just go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to this program. That's treasuretop.com, and there you will also see all of our contact information as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter. And because we seek to evangelize non-believers that they will be converted to Christians, and for believers to energize them with the Word of God to fulfill their calling, please prayerfully consider making a donation in any amount to help us to continue to deliver these messages using mass media. Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website, and thank you. And now let's conclude today's message, How to Survive Financial Bankruptcy. When it comes to financial bankruptcy, more often than not, it's the living in the flesh, as we defined earlier, doing what feels good at the moment, that leads to the various types of bankruptcy. Let's go see what the Bible has to say about money. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to start. Chapter 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. What this means is wealth cannot buy long life. Only righteousness can help in doing that. Proverbs 10:2, ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. It also says in Proverbs 10:27 that fear of the Lord can lead to a longer life. Quote, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. End quote. Fear of the Lord generally means reverence for, bowing down to, acknowledging that you can do nothing without Him. Not that you need to fear God striking you down instantly for anything you do wrong. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. Do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become sureties for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? In other words, you need to understand that if a debtor cannot pay and you are a cosigner, they will come after you for the payment. So to avoid financial bankruptcy, you want to be sure not to get entangled with others' financial problems as a cosigner. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. This means that wealth can evaporate. Ever known someone to lose a lot of money in the stock market, or maybe lose all their money in a bad investment that they made? Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. So to summarize what the Bible says about money in one word, the word would be wisdom. The Bible talks about giving rather than getting, the piling on of riches for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And let's look at Hebrews 13, 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And in regard to one's own family and relatives, 1 Timothy 5, 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God gives us what we need, not what we want. There's a big difference between the two. Sometimes we want things we don't need. Sometimes we need things we don't want. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit of God gives us the desire to pray so that we can know the will of God. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you are facing bankruptcy, the question to ask is, are you? And if not, have you? And if not, will you? Our latitude in life is dictated by our attitude in life. Simply stated, latitude in life is the range of possibilities or opportunities that are available to us. In geography, think of it this way. Latitude lines are horizontal and measure how far north or south you are from the midpoint, from the equator. If we think of God as north in heaven, where are we in relation to God? How far south are we? Our attitude about life is our outlook on life. Are we looking to ourselves to solve our problems, or are we praying for the wisdom and discernment on what God would do with us next? Folks, all that bankruptcy really is the answer to this question. Are we living in the flesh, or are we relying on Holy Spirit power to guide us? As I mentioned earlier, the extent of bankruptcy in your life is directly proportionate to how you view yourself before God, because how you view yourself before God will determine how you live your life before God. Is God in first place in your life, or are you in first place in your life? Exodus 20, verses 3 to 4 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth." What God is saying is, anything that takes first place in front of Him is idol worship. Love of money, love of a job, love of buying things, anything that comes before God is idol worship, and God's a jealous God. Verse 5. If we have a reverential view of God by admitting we need a Savior, that we are undeserving, which we are, that we are sinful, which we are, that we are selfish, which we are, and that we have no ability to live up to the commandments of God, which we can't, if we are willing to humble ourselves before God and to admit we are spiritually bankrupt without Him, then and only then are we really ready to be admitted to the kingdom of God. And then and only then can we navigate and survive spiritual bankruptcy that leads to all other forms of bankruptcy, including financial bankruptcy. And the way to navigate bankruptcy is to start with foundational truth. It's the Word of God, the Bible. We know that the Word of God is true because Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Relying on oneself using self-power instead of accessing Holy Spirit power, the power that all Christians have and which is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, will essentially guarantee either financial bankruptcy or any other kind of bankruptcy. When we depend on ourselves, and the only way to survival for eternity in heaven versus eternity in hell is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins, that means to turn away from your sins, and believing in the inerrant Word of God that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, as recorded in Hebrews 4:12. The truth is, folks, we are all living in spiritual bankruptcy right now. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The key is to recognize God for who He is and to recognize us for who we aren't. Regarding who God is, author and pastor Steve Lawson said it this way, "The greatest evidence of the holiness of God is the cross of Jesus Christ. And there is the holiness of God on full display, that God is so holy and so perfect that no one can enter into the presence of God apart from coming by way of the cross. And the cross is your unholiness being judged by God. That's what God thinks about the best you have to offer Him. It's being judged at the cross and condemned. And it's so serious He is crushing His own Son. And there's no way to enter His presence except through the cross. If there was any other way, God would have spared His own Son. So for you not to see your own sin is the epitome of arrogance. And for you not to see God's holiness is to be blind." End quote. I'd like to close this series with what may be the most encouraging and uplifting scripture that is found in the entire Bible. If you're suffering from financial bankruptcy or any other form of bankruptcy, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, has an encouraging word for all of us. It's written by the Apostle Paul from the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Paul was a Roman citizen, Acts 16:37 and 22:25, and he was born about the time of Christ's birth in Tarsus, Acts 9:11, which is located in Asia Minor, that would be modern-day Turkey. Paul is speaking to the members of the church in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and in chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The extent of bankruptcy in your life is directly proportionate to how you view yourself before God, because how you view yourself before God will determine how you live your life before God. So, how do you survive not only financial bankruptcy, but all forms of bankruptcy? The answer, accept Christ. Enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit in you when you accept Christ, and get the Word of God by getting in the Word of God. Essentially, it's this, folks. Obey the Word of God and you will be blessed. Don't obey the Word of God and you will be cursed. Let me repeat it again. The extent of bankruptcy in your life is directly proportionate to how you view yourself before God, because how you view yourself before God will determine how you live your life before God. Well, that's all the time we have today. Remember, you can download this message right now free of charge or any of my radio messages by going to treasuretop.com and selecting the podcast tab. And you can also subscribe for free so that you never miss another message. And please consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top to help us continue to broadcast the Word of God on radio, TV, YouTube, social media, and the internet. We have three ways to give. On the website at treasuretop.com, click on the Give button at the top of the screen. You can also text your donation with the word give to 844-553-1590. That's the word give to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer by mail, our address is P.O. Box 210, 615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to evangelize the unbeliever and to energize the believer. Father, thank you for this study in your word today. Help us to never forget, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As believers, we come before you not deserving of anything, for the wages of sin is death, as your word says, and we have all sinned. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us when he was nailed to the cross to pay for our sin bill in full. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.